Why, hello, Paratopia. It's Jeremy Vaney. I think it is time now to finally explain what happened with Phil Imbrogno from my perspective. In case you have forgotten, Phil Imbrogno is someone we had on the show quite a bit. I think he was on the Culture Context show. He certainly brought me and a bunch of people from the Culture of Contact arts organization out to various locations in upstate New York to look at monuments and structures that seem to be pre-Celtic in nature and, you know, allegedly date back to before Columbus. All of that fun stuff you'll recall from other shows. So I guess I considered Phil a friend or friendly. I mean, he certainly was accessible. We didn't hang out a lot, but we hung out in a, you know, those couple of instances. He came and spoke at the Culture Contact event. I think the first one, not the second one. I don't really remember. It's all a blur to me. But, you know, we'd spoken on the phone a little bit. So I wouldn't say, you know, we were great friends or anything like that, but we were friendly enough to where I can't believe he lied about everything. Well, at least in terms of his background. So what I'm going to clear up with this is why I chimed in on that when even Jeff thought I shouldn't. You see, what happened was I had mistakenly thought there was only one person making claims against Phil, and it turns out there were two. Here now is that story and why I have not spoken out until now. Essentially, one fine day, I saw that someone named NYC Jeff online had a blog that was questioning Phil Imbrogno's education at MIT. And at that point, Phil had just published, The Vengeful Djinn with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. I don't remember if this NYC Jeff guy was going after Guiley or not, but I remember that they were both in his comment section saying, you better take this down or we're going to sue you, you know, that type of language. And I had contacted Phil and said, God, sorry to hear this, you know, someone's attacking your credentials and all of that. And he had said, hey, no problem. We're going to sue this guy or he's going to take down the website or whatever. And well, he ended up taking down the website. I mean, the whole website, the whole blog. I don't think he, like, just took down the posts. Like, he took down the blog. And then a couple of weeks later, someone named Lance Moody made the same claim against Phil Imbrogno that his MIT background was nonsense. And Lance Moody sounds like a fake name to me, but it turns out it's his real name. But because I thought it was a fake name, I thought it was the same guy as NYC Jeff. Because what are the odds that it's not? These two guys within a couple of weeks of each other make this claim. But it turns out that they are different people and that they didn't know. Like, Lance Moody didn't know about NYC Jeff. He just apparently had enough of seeing Phil Imbrogno wearing an MIT shirt in promotionals and thought he'd call MIT and see if Phil actually went there. And he didn't. But Lance Moody, I also recognize from another message board as someone who's one of those skeptibunkers that we always talk about, who, you know, isn't just satisfied with being skeptically minded. He's got to be the smartest guy in the room and all of that, you know. So I wasn't willing to just take his word for it. Especially because I remember being out on one of the trails to one of those alleged pre-Celtic structures. And Phil talking to me about his background and about how disappointed he was that he hadn't graduated from MIT or that he hadn't, they hadn't accepted his paper. I guess he'd written a paper, according to him. And he kept trying, he kept applying and applying, and they would never accept it. And he finally thought that this one was it, that he was gonna, you know, make it, whatever that means. Clearly I'm not schooled in the ways of education, so I don't know what any of, you know, a grad student paper being accepted means or any of that. But he sounded sincere, and we were talking in person about this and all that. And this was before any of the allegations. So when the allegations came up, I felt pretty certain that they were bullshit. And then the other reason that I felt that it was nonsense is that the message board that Lance Moody was heavily associated with was the Paracast board. And this was shortly after the Paracast took a beating from Jeff and I quite publicly over their treatment of Emma Woods and their kissing the asses of Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs and, you know, having them on the show and softballing them and, you know, basically kicking Emma off the board if she didn't reveal her true identity and all this noise. And so I thought Lance Moody was just sort of a part of that. And I and other people on that message board were sort of climbing on the Lance Moody bandwagon and going, yeah, we should look into all of this stuff. And I felt like this was sort of the Paracast fanboy way of trying to make up for the Emma Woods thing or trying to do their own big explosive investigation, you know. So I just thought it was more noise. And so I sent an email to Phil. And we had a little exchange that reinforced in me that this not only was more noise, but that he was going to do something about it. And he asked that I wait and let this play out. And I'll read it to you, the exchange, and then you can see why I gladly did that. But I have to say up front here that the email is a little strange in that there's a lot of misspelled words, which isn't like him. So I don't know what that means. Make of that what you will. Anyway, here is our exchange. I write, "Hi, Phil. Hope you're well. People are asking me if I know why you're leaving the field. I suspect it's because of your online stalker fucking with your life in the name of, quote-unquote, investigating your background. Is there anything I can tell them, or will you be making a statement? Thanks, and I am truly sorry it has come to this for you. If there's anything I can do or we can say on the show that'll help you, please let me know. Jeremy." Now I'm going to read Phil's email back to me, but I'm going to clean up some of the spelling errors because the more I look at it, the more I'm not certain if they're errors because he's going out of his mind or if he's using some sort of, texting system that changes words and stuff like that. Because one thing he talks about is slander slash libel, but he has spelled it liberal, which makes me think he's just using like a self-correct program or something along those lines that's not working all the time. Anyway, to make it better for you, the listener, I am going to correct some of the problems as I go along. Phil writes, "Yes, I am leaving the field. This Lance Moody guy, who wants to be the next Phil Klass, has been tracking down information about me and posting it up on the web. He's even making things up. Although my PhD was turned down by MIT, this guy is putting the information on the air and internet as if he discovered I don't have one. I don't, but was close, and they told me I had a 90% chance. Well, the 10% came through, and it was a big failure for me after being rejected for 8 years. Anyway, being older than 60, my work was not done in the main campus, but in a lab annex. So unless there's a grade, it would not come up on their computer. Also, with my BS, I filed with a different name. Moody made it clear I was writing UFO books and had no place as a scientist at their institution. I was almost a PhD, but turned down at the last minute. I was so sure, as they told me, that I was going to get it, I started using it in one or two of my interviews. However, no titles are ever placed on my books. Mr. Moody will be receiving a court notice for cyberstalking, stalking, slander slash libel, premeditated intentions for attacking another person's livelihood with no motivation. The boys at Paracast should have never released the short story until they talked with me. They were being fed secret information by Moody since he is a coward. Paracast is not the gold standard of the paranormal, it is the mud and slime ball of the paranormal. In the past, they have made fun of guests while the guests have just gone off the air and they were on. And during my first show with them, they wanted to know if I had any quote-unquote dirt on Alan Hynek to talk on the air. Paracast is nothing more than a gossip radio show of the paranormal, and at times they try to act like shock jocks. I will never do their show again. One show, could have been Paracast, announced the location of my school, and people should go down, and I was waiting to hear their alien stories. 3 to 6 people showed up, or called a week for 3 weeks and some days. See, that one I can't clean up so well. The X-Zone published the name of my work location. This resulted in a wacko coming down and screaming up at the windows and throwing rocks at the locked front door, demanding I come out because the aliens told him to kill me. Well, security took this person away, but did I get in trouble? I have been teaching for 30 years and plan to retire in 2. The magic number in my school is 32 years or 66 years old, If you are fired, you lose your salary retirement deal. This is the reason why I am leaving, although I have two more books coming out. They are both finished and on contract, and I worked on them before the nonsense started. Don't quote me on this, because it is going into a court case with, most likely, Paracast listed as an accomplice. Phil. And then I wrote, Hi Phil, here's a question. Would you consider making public or telling us privately your professor at the Annex? Seems like this would clear it up, but then of course, if it's public, those assholes will pile on and try to call the guy slash gal. Plus, I understand not wanting to say peep until the lawsuit goes through, but something to think about. Jeremy. And Phil never responded. And then he changed his phone number and his email and all of that. So you can see why I was on board with Phil. I mean, that sort of made sense to me. Coupled with the fact that a lot of what he said there about wanting his PhD and thinking he was going to get it and all that, I remembered him telling me in person. So to me, it sounded like, okay, he was taking classes in an annex off campus. He never got a grade, therefore his name wasn't in the system. And he was being told by them that he was going to finally get it, and then he didn't. So he jumped the gun and started saying he graduated from MIT or whatever. I mean, all of that just sort of made sense to me. And then the Paracast, although now completely irrelevant at that time, was a cesspool and did have a decent body of listeners. Although Phil was wrong that Lance Moody, as far as I understand it, wasn't sharing information with the Paracast. This is how cesspooly it gets. I guess he had told one or both of the hosts what he had found, and then they published it without even asking him. And I guess he was upset about that for a while, but then maybe they kissed and made up or something. I don't know. But I do know that that's the fact. They had just sort of taken his story and run with it. And I do think that that's because, at least in part, of the Emma Woods thing, and because, you know, for their bid for relevancy, it's like, oh, look, we're a real investigative show and all of that, which anyone who listens to it knows
is horseshit.
I digress. So I went on to say, hey, let's give Phil a fair hearing. Let's wait until all the facts come out, because I thought there's going to be this court case, and if he's going to sue the Paracast and Lance Moody and all these guys, great. Let's have at it. Let's see what happens. But I didn't say he was innocent. I thought he was, but I don't remember saying that publicly. I just remember saying, let's not judge him yet. And then people who hated us or hated our show decided, oh, there's blood in the water there. He's saying Phil's innocent. And that's not what I was saying. I was saying, let's just hold out. I think he is, but we don't know. Meanwhile, I asked Dr. Tyler Cokejohn, hey, what Phil's telling me is that he took classes in an annex off campus and, you know, didn't get a grade, and that's why he's not in the system, et cetera, et cetera. Does that make sense to you as someone who does have a PhD? Is that possible? And he said, no, it doesn't make sense to him. And furthermore, said that when he had read one of his books that had a bunch of statistical science-y graphs and the such in the back of the book, that it looked like he was using outdated models, not something that you would expect someone who graduated MIT to be using. And he found that curious. Shortly thereafter, Don Ecker found that not only was Phil being dishonest about his educational background to the UFO community, but his military background as well. And between that knowledge and Tyler Cokejohn, for me, it was done. And it's a done deal. I mean, he hasn't sued anybody, right? So, but again, I thought NYC Jeff and Lance Moody were the same person, and I thought it was just this internet stalker, or who, you know, Phil had told me was this sort of internet stalker, and I just believed him because I was friendly with him. Why would he lie, right? But no, they were different people, and in fact, I found NYC Jeff one fine day, many, many moons later, on Tim Banal's board. And here's how that exchange went. Aloha, stranger. Are you the same NYC Jeff that first reported on Phil Imbrogno's bullshit weeks prior to his being taken apart by Lance Moody? If so, I'm curious how you learned that he didn't graduate MIT and if he and or Rosemary Ellen Guiley threatened to sue you. Thanks for any info. Sincerely, Jeremy. NYC Jeff writes, Hi, Jeremy. Yeah, that's me. Imbrogno just seemed to be talking more shit than he should have been if he was pursuing a PhD. From what I can tell, if you pursue anything that could be construed as vaguely non-materialistic, even as a hobby, you're not getting your PhD from a place like MIT, at least in this day and age. I think Lance and I just saw the same things at about the same time. For me, it was Mr. Imbrogno's interview with Mike Cleland. Mr. Moody seemed to pursue it more aggressively than I did, which was fine by me. I think Mr. Imbrogno might have thought I was Lance, or Lance was me, because he seemed to think I have done more than I actually had in terms of verifying things. Mainly, I just asked questions on my blog and pointed out some inconsistencies. I think he knew something about Lance's inquiries, and then when I started posting, he assumed I was Mr. Moody. What I looked at was mainly the MIT Library Online for a PhD thesis, and MIT's website also had a video up of the previous year's doctoral hooding ceremony, neither of which had any reference to Mr. Imbrogno. From there, I mainly concluded that polyester was cheaper than parchment. In terms of legal threats, he mentioned something along those lines. I didn't think he was too serious for a couple of reasons, but in the end, I didn't want to go there. I figured someone else must be thinking the same thing as me and would likely pursue it independently. Ms. Guiley just posted a snarky comment on the blog that I still get a kick out of reading from time to time. It's funny, while I looked at the stats from the blog at the time, I think you and Mr. Imbrogno were the ones most interested in the affair. About 90% of the hits were from another New Yorker, non-me, and some guy in Connecticut slash upstate New York, which I could tell was Mr. Imbrogno. I'm curious what makes you contact me now about this, given the end of the world in 2 months and all. Jeff. And actually, that's interesting, because I don't think I went to his website more than once, maybe twice. So, some other New Yorker. And finally, I wrote back, thanks for the info. I thought you and Lance were the same, which led to some confusion on my part about what was happening, but Lance said he didn't know who you were. And then your site, or maybe just the thread, disappeared. So I thought maybe Phil closed you down or scared you into hiding or something. Now, as luck would have it, I saw your name in the forum. Good to get the whole story, even if it's a day late and a dollar short. Jer.
So now we're at the point where I reveal why I'm telling you all of this now and why I waited so long. And I'm doing it over a special sound effect because why? I don't know. I don't know what it is with these sound effects. I guess I just think it's like added value, you know, like production value. Kind of like I'm sure most of you don't even care about the Phil Imbrogno story, but I think that's added value to this archive stick. Anyway, here's the thing. Let me shut that crap off. So here's the thing. Phil goes on the above topsecret.com board. There's a thread there about his debacle, and he goes in there as, I don't remember his screen name. It was like DevilBoy666 or something. But there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was Phil Imbrogno. And he basically pulls a Scooby-Doo ending and says, yes, I lied. I lied about all of my background, and I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids. Well, he doesn't say that part, but he says, yes, I lied. I lied about my background. And the reason I did it is because screw you, ufology. You think I'm going to give my real information to a bunch of dolts like this? Come on, wake up, people. And if it were true, I could actually respect in a certain way. And I wish that were the narrative of his story, but you know, it doesn't play that way. Actually, the timing of the various lies and his excuses for them, his changing excuses for them, just none of it washes. But he goes on there and he does that because, at least this is what I believe, based on his email to me, because this is the one thing in that email that I do believe is true. I believe he went on there. I believe he said, screw you guys, I'm out of here. And tried to make himself as evil as possible. What in pro wrestling you would say he was turning heel. He used to be a face. He used to be a good guy. And now he's turning heel. And we're watching him do this on a public message board and then going away completely. You never hear from him again. Every now and then you see him on, like, you know, Ancient Aliens or something. But I think that's old footage. I don't think Giorgio Tsoukalos' hair can quite grasp what has happened to Phil Imbrogno here. Anyway, he goes on there. He says, screw you and goodbye. And the reason I believe is that more and more people were saying we need to call his school, because if he lied about this to us, maybe he lied about his credentials to the school he works for. And of course, in his email, if you'll remember, he said, I'm retiring in a couple of years, and which would be now, and if anyone messes with that, I don't get my retirement. And you know,
As much as I wanted to sort of clear the air about all of this then, and as screwed over as I was, as much as or more than other people by him, not really. Wait, let's be real here. I mean, he just lied about his background. What do I really care? But to make it sound all dramatic,
I got the worst of it, people.
No, Rosemary Ellen Kiley did. Anyway, plus I hold out hope that he's actually secretly a CIA operative and that's why he had to lie about everything. Probably not true. Let's stay on topic here. Stay on topic. We're almost at the end of this thing and it's over 20 minutes long. Where am I in this? Okay, so it's 2013 now. He's retired. They're at summer vacation. He's gone. So nobody can hurt him. And I figured, you know, do you hurt an old man? Do you risk killing his retirement? Do you let people do that? Because they're either upset, as some of them had said in various forums, upset that they had bought his book and he lied, and they want their money back, or they want to do something about this, and or because they were envious that, for whatever silly reason, that Paratopia broke the Emma Woods / hypnosis / end of abduction research thing wide open, while they, at least in the Paracast community, of which I told you Lance Moody was a part, they not only sat on their thumbs, but they actively worked against her. And I think they saw that they were wrong. They were on the wrong side of history. And I think that they desperately wanted to find a Frankenstein to burn out of his home. So I felt like it was for the wrong reasons. And I felt like the punishment didn't fit the crime, because how many ufological books have we all read? In fact, David Jacobs, who they were defending, where they turn out to be a crock of shit. didn't have any problem with him, right? Or Bud Hopkins, or Stephen Greer, or down the line. I mean, this is what this field is. And I think it is a stretch to say that he lied about his background successfully to the school where he works. Because they would have to do a background check, right? They would have to know where he graduated from and all of that. But even if they didn't, the fact that he worked there for as long as he did and he's now retiring and all of that, why would you kill that at the nth hour? Obviously, he did something right, you know. I don't believe in, even if he screwed us all over, even if I spent a couple of bucks on his book or whatever, I just don't think you take away a man's retirement. I mean, that's, then what, he goes homeless? I mean, what happens? And then you feel, what, self-righteous and great about that? I don't. So that's it. I mean, I didn't want to take away a man's retirement as punishment for lying about his educational and military background to the crime-ridden slum that is ufology. So if you think I'm wrong about that, that's fine. I stand by it. I also stand by saying innocent until proven guilty, because it doesn't matter that he ultimately is guilty. What the hell is wrong with us that we don't even want any sort of due process? I mean, with the Jacobs thing, you know, we gave Jacobs every chance to talk to us, and he did talk to us for a little while. And Elizabeth, if you'll remember the other woman, she talked to us for a little while too, but you know, they didn't want to talk publicly with us, and they, and certainly what I was hearing from him was just the nonsense that he then went public with. So I think making sure he's guilty first and then sentencing him to banishment from all things ufological and paranormal for at least the amount of time that it takes for the public to forget that this ever happened. Yeah, I think that's punishment enough. And then he can come back a la Don Schmidt, Richard Doty, and company to sell you more horseshit. Wash, rinse, repeat. What you don't do, or at least I wouldn't have any part of, is call his school where he works and tell them all of this in the hopes of getting him fired, when in fact this may not bleed over into any other aspect of his life. Because, let's face it, this isn't Stephen Greer we're talking about. It's not like he's making a living doing this. He's not doing Kickstarter movies and, you know, world tour lectures and all this stuff. He's just his main source of income will be retirement funds, which I'm sure on a teacher's salary ain't that great to begin with. So there it is. Phil and Brogno fiasco out of the way. Everyone can go on with their lives. Added value attained. Take me out, sound effects.